You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 219 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, November 4th, 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and we are doing a late show tonight. We weren't even planning on doing a show this week. I just got off the plane, drove home just now from BlizzCon, and I'm like, guys, we got to do a show because Hearthstone Battlegrounds comes out tomorrow, and I feel like we need to talk about what happened at BlizzCon before this comes out. So before we begin, I wanted to introduce both of our other co-hosts here. We've got Mr. Danny Donuts all the way over in New Hampshire. How's it going, Danny?
Good. It's nice to be a guest on JR Goes to BlizzCon.
I know, dude.
Yeah. I needed you guys. I'm wanting to get your thoughts though on what happened at BlizzCon. That's why you're here.
And is that the only reason?
That is the only reason. You're wow. also because you're co-host of the show.
That's what I thought made more sense in my head. But
the other person you hear there is Mr. Ray C over and also in New Hampshire. How's it going?
Yes,
Ray?
Sir. It's going, man. Climbing the ladder, you know.
Yeah.
Doing my thing. This was actually the first BlizzCon in like 4 or 5 years. I've been to every BlizzCon since Hearthstone World Championships was a thing. So I saw Firebat win. I saw Oskaka win. I saw Pavel win. And then there were 2 years that sucked.
That reminds me. I just added a new thing to our show notes. Because this is also important to talk about.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that, huh?
Yeah, we should definitely talk about this. You missed probably the best BlizzCon, so...
It's so ironic. It's so ironic because I was like, man, last year sucked. Like, last year was so bad.
Last year was awful.
Last year was so bad that, like, I almost didn't even want to be there, except for, like, the friends aspect. Like, I was like, yeah, that's cool, but then, like, I couldn't even... I don't know. It just felt like there was nothing to do outside of, like, the... I don't know, it just felt so dry in terms of content, especially for Hearthstone, and I don't know, even Elder games, like there was nothing hype except for like the StarCraft Worlds, which they kind of like don't even recognize as a thing anymore. Like this year that was one day and nobody, like, I don't know, man, it just feels like all the fun stuff, aka anything competitive, is kind of just getting pushed off. Except for, like, last year, that's what it felt like. This year.
Yeah, this year was definitely...
It seems like they've learned. Yeah. They learned from last year.
Yeah, this year they did not put anybody in the basement. So, that was good. All of the major stages were up in the main floor. Hearthstone had a pretty good grand finals, I believe. I did watch it a little bit while I was there. I got to watch the finals. And I watched one of the semifinals? Yeah, I watched the semifinals with Bloody Face and yelled USA a lot, so that was fun. It was definitely a good and busy BlizzCon. I am definitely the most exhausted right now than I have ever been after a BlizzCon because there is so much going on that I don't... And this is the other reason I needed you guys on, because I didn't even get to... Like, even though I was at BlizzCon, I don't even know half of what happened at BlizzCon.
I mean, that's what happens when you're at events like that. You're just running around. Like, the hall is so big, and there's so much stuff that you have to be, like, that you're doing that, like, you can't pay attention to everything like you can at home.
Right.
It's almost like watching, like, a sports game live where, like, unless you're in the front row. Like, you actually don't know everything that's going on compared to, like, if you're at home, like, you get to see the replays, you get to hear everybody, like, the casters talking and stuff. It's actually way harder to pay attention when you're actually there.
Yeah. Yep. 100% agree with that analogy, for sure. But beyond that, Ray, I gotta ask you, were you able to succeed on the ladder on Halloween, or?
Oh, I didn't even try.
Didn't even try.
No, that was not a good day.
Yeah.
No, I was focused on other things.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. No, I was just curious since Halloween was coming out. Do you know who anybody that might have hit the top 16 for that?
Yeah, a lot of them were. I don't want to say randoms because, like, clearly they have proven themselves by getting top 16, but, like, they are not known names except for, like, Caravaggio, ZLS, JS. I don't even know who else, honestly. Those are the only ones that I really noticed that, like, got their invites from that.
Yeah. Cool. Danny, how about you? What have you been up to in the last week?
Man, it's been mostly work for me, but I mean, being able to catch a glimpse of BlizzCon here and there was really nice. Very good break through a lot of the stuff that I've been doing. But yeah, I've been busy just working, doing a lot of stuff at work.
Yeah, just paying attention.
Boring
adult stuff. I'm not looking forward to jumping back into that, that's for sure.
Are you going back tomorrow?
No, I ended up taking tomorrow off. I was going to originally, but I'm so tired. I'm like, I need one more day of recovery.
Hopefully you don't get the con crud.
I've not gotten it yet. I feel okay, so I think I might have avoided it. So
nice.
We'll see. We will see. But
I can't wait to get a bubble and go to events. There's gonna be a bubble boy.
Bubble boy Ray.
Yeah.
You can cosplay as a bubble boy. That's even better.
I don't know. Is there a cart that like is in a bubble?
Like anything with divine shield.
Oh, yo, I could be like a sick dude. I could be like an Argent Commander.
Yeah.
Or the Moon Colossus.
Yeah.
The Colossus of the Moon.
Actually, Ray, I have the perfect card for you. You All can right, be the Annoyatron.
That would be really good.
That would be good, dude. JR, do you remember this? I didn't know you back then, but this was like a while ago at BlizzCon. Somebody brought like an actual Annoyatron that had like a remote and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like one of the coolest things I've seen somebody create.
I had not seen that.
Oh, it was so cool.
Nice.
I think, actually, Blizzard, when I went to Blizzard, they had it there on display, and I asked them, like, did you get this from like that person? They actually bought it from them.
Oh wow.
Like Blizzard bought the Annoyatron and they have it in their like museum or whatever.
Yeah, I know that they sometimes will buy like costumes and stuff from people. Like they have the pajama Abathur that I think someone created. They have that in one of their displays. And I've seen a couple of other like cosplay pieces that they have.
I wonder how much they pay for that. Like I wonder the value. Like it's so arbitrary because like there's so much work that goes into it
thing, right?
Yeah it's like a piece of art.
Yeah,
except then it's also Blizzard buying it from you, so it's like kind of intimidating to say no.
Yep.
Like I wonder if they just lowball them and be like, I'll give you $10 for this thing that took you like 100 hours to make.
I honestly just assume that the person just gave it to him as a loan, like just like, here, you can go display it.
I heard they bought it when I asked.
I just don't know how that all works, so
I have no idea either.
Yeah.
Some backroom deals.
Yeah, I want to know if they just get like the big Blizzard.
We'll give you super beta access to Hearthstone Battlegrounds.
Yeah, we'll whitelist your account.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably hop into talking about the news in BlizzCon and all of that.
Oh, dude, they probably paid in the packs.
Heroes of Warcraft.
As Ray says something I could not hear because I have this loud music in my ears.
Or arcane dust.
Oh, I said they paid him in packs.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Anyway, before we get started, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. Thanks for being a legend of the show. And if you'd like to be a legend of the show or find out how, just head over to patreon.com/allmetpodcast. If nothing else, as low as $1 a month, get you a little bit of early access to the show and also get you access to like a pre and post show that you don't normally get with the podcast. So,
and they have been very good lately.
They have been pretty good.
Yeah.
And you get good access to my, the BM report.
That's true. The BM report.
Movement meta report.
Yeah. So all that good stuff. anyway, so yeah, BlizzCon. That's the big news right now. We got some announcements that came out of the show. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk about Con Before the Storm, the panel I was on. For the simple fact that one of the questions that came up during the panel, someone raised their hand. We took some Q&A towards the end of the show, and someone raised their hand and asked the panel, was like, "Hey, do you guys think that Blizzard is going to announce a new auto battler chess game?" And everybody up on the panel kind of looked confused and everything. And I'm like, I will take the answer to this because I also run another podcast that does talk about this kind of stuff with Dota Underlords. And my answer was
so smart.
I felt brilliant with this answer. And I go, "No, they are not. And here's the reasons why." And I went on about how it was too soon. Blizzard, when they jump into making something like this, they like to polish it and make it different than how other people are doing. I also said that auto battlers are very boring to watch. So Blizzard's gonna have to figure out how to make that better, and I don't think they had enough time to do it.
Proven wrong on all aspects.
sort of. I don't know.
They did not announce a new game, which was the question. And how I was thinking about it, I was not thinking about it as in terms of a new game mode.
Yeah, I mean, I personally agree with you, what you said earlier, where I don't actually think I would consider it an auto battler, like a standalone game. I think it is more of a tavern brawl than it is its own game, but I guess I could be wrong. I mean, you played it and
I like it. It's a lot of fun.
I watched a lot of it.
Yeah, let's get the scouting report, JR.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. It seems like it would probably be fun to watch. Whereas I feel like other auto battler chess games, like Dota Underlords, is boring to watch. TFT, I have no idea what's going on. Keep in mind, I play Dota Underlords, and it's still boring to watch. So I can only imagine TFT is probably the same way. Hearthstone, because it plays like Hearthstone. It's cards that you understand. It's just using mechanics that you already know about the game. The only difference is you're buying your cards, you're putting them on a board like you would with Hearthstone, and then the board battles it out.
So
position matters absolutely, because it goes from left to right on how they attack, and it takes turns.
I do want to point out one thing. You said it like makes sense and all that because it's similar to Hearthstone, but the other auto battlers are also exactly the same as their counterpart game. Like Dota, if you played Dota for a long time, like the auto chess would just click. It would make sense because all the abilities are the same, all the characters are the same. Like the abilities in the auto chess game are like the abilities in Dota, and like everything about it is like very. Like if you played the game, it would be like you would pick it up in a second. Same with TFT. Like I was able to just know everything about TFT at first because like it just made sense. Like WBF sword makes Infinity Edge. Oh, that's what it is in the game. Like all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe that's the difference.
Imagine someone trying to get into this and they have never played Hearthstone before, and they're like, "What is this magnetic thing? What is this reborn thing? Like, what are these effects? What do they do?"
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. There's going to be a learning curve to getting into this, just as like there was for the other games as well.
Right. But
for someone who's not experienced.
But people who already know Hearthstone, which will be people listening to the show, should be able to catch on with this very quickly. It'll take a little bit of getting used to with the way the mechanics kind of work. And I think people will start figuring out a meta with this as well fairly quickly. Although I feel like that the way that they designed this with like 24 different heroes to start off with, the heroes very much make the game very, very different every time that you play, because they all have different hero powers or abilities. And and you start off with, if you have the bonus and stuff, you start out with being able to pick three that you get to choose from. You get three, and then you choose one of those three as that's your hero that you take. So it's in the fact that you don't have to do a ton of math like you kind of do in auto battler chess games because you don't have to worry about economy. You don't have to worry about interest points or anything like that because every hero, no matter what tier you're on, costs 3 quote-unquote gold or mana. Or every minion, I should say, costs that much. And then your hero power still always costs 2 mana. And that's roughly about it. And if you have 3 of the same minion, they get bigger. And leveling up is how you can access higher tier minions. So the whole object of the game is to build up your army, your board. You can sell your dudes for 3 gold or 3 mana, quote unquote.
I think it's 1, isn't it? Is it 3?
It said 1, but it might scale.
Let me think. 1 is correct. Yes.
Yep.
1 is correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, I misstated that. And then, you know, you can refresh a board that costs 1 mana as well. You can freeze a board, so you get the same minions the next time. That costs 0 mana. And the minions attack from left to right. They take turns back and forth. They will always attack top minions first. So, if they can.
Yeah. So, I have a question. What did you feel the average game length was? Did you find it to be significantly shorter than other?
My first game, probably, and I got first in that one, and that probably took about 35 minutes to play.
Okay, so it's still like a decent amount of time.
Yeah,
and like it's would expect that the games are going to go faster as people get more experience with the game too, because a lot of people were probably reading a lot of the cards, making sure that, like, because you don't know the mechanics, right? So, right. I mean, so the cap of the time is what's happening, but a lot of times too, when you're done, the game's going to go a little bit quicker when people know what's going on.
I don't think it's going to go quicker because you always have a set amount of time.
Oh,
yeah,
that
doesn't matter.
Goes down? Okay, never mind.
Yep. Yeah, it's like the other auto battlers.
I thought there was like an end turn type thing.
There's not. Mm-mm. There's a set amount of time that you have. And no matter what, it's going to take that amount of time.
And here's the other question I had. Because they took away a lot of the mechanics that I think are very skill-based, like interest and everything else they ended up taking away, do you feel like there's still enough of a skill gap between good and bad? Like, do you think that that will be enough to actually do well?
I think there will be. I think there will be for a couple different scenarios. They're going to be a little bit different than some of the other auto battler chess games, and some of those are because of the battle cries. Because battle cry cards, they stick. Like, their battle cry sticks. So you can buy a battle cry creature and then turn around and sell it, play it and then sell it. Some of those battle cries are ones that create 2 minions, and you can turn around and sell those minions for a gold apiece.
So the token stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So you can do some interesting shenanigans there, that I think is going to become skill based.
Okay.
I also think that you have to be able to look at what the other boards are doing, and be able to pick, some minions that counteract what they're doing. An example of that is there's a Wind Fury minion that I think is like a 6/8 or a 4/8, I don't remember. And he always attacks the lowest attack minion on the other board. And so you can grab the 2/8 spider with poison to counteract that, because he's gonna get hit by the poison effect right off the bat. So there's some interesting scenarios that you can do in that regard. There's 2 things that are most disappointing to me in the game mode, though. Actually 3. And one of them is like what you said, is since there's no economy thing, that might get a little, you know, that might not be as good. But I think that there's other areas where it might be able to counteract it. The other is, I forgot now all of a sudden. Dang it.
I mean, the board's just much smaller as well.
Yeah, the board's smaller.
I guess it is just kind of different. Like, it's just not like the other ones were kind of copies of each other. This is just different.
Yeah. So, you know how you'll have like, 7 opponents or 7 people left, and how in other games, like, you'll always play like someone else's board.
Like a ghost?
Like a ghost of someone else's board. They've done away with that, and you're just playing like a random computer opponent that has nothing to do with the game.
That's not what it is. It was the last person who got kicked out. It's their board.
Really?
The last person who lost, their board sticks around when there's an odd number, and they get put as Kel'Thuzad. And then, so like the last person who got voted out or kicked out or whatever is the player who goes in there.
That makes way more sense than what I was seeing then, because I'm just like, why the heck am I playing this Kel'Thuzad? And like, he's nothing on this board. Why? And he has zero life. I just assumed that it was a computer player.
No, it was like the last that a little bit better.
Okay, well, I like that better.
Technically, it is a computer player now.
But right. But that's fine. That's fine. At least it was something that had to do with the game, and it's not random.
Yep.
So, I did not know that. So you can take that one out of mission there. There was one more thing that I was kind of bummed about, but now I can't remember. So
I have something that I'm very excited about with this, that I definitely see a little bit further down the line. This game, you might talk a little bit more about this because you probably interviewed people about this, JR, but this game is very low maintenance.
Yes.
This is, you can go through and completely change up the game by swapping out 10 cards. Putting in Crazed Alchemist, making that a card that's relevant in the game. Like, there are a lot of really, in Hearthstone's history, there are a lot of cards, and it's built on the Hearthstone engine. So, I mean, depending on how quickly they rotate it or whatever, it can be an extremely fresh game for a very long time. And I'm very interested to see how they're going to go about doing that.
Ooh, because, what if they do every month, like when the ladder resets, like that is also when that resets, and then there's a new... And they rotation. All,
they're also creating cards specifically for this mode as well. Like, there are cards specific for this mode.
So. Yeah, but I mean, a lot of the stuff too is you can reuse things, and that's something that's very valuable in the video game industry, where it's like, well, we could go in and spend an hour of this developer's time, create a new card, balance it, and do all that stuff. Or we could go in and take a Ragnaros and put him in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just need to get my hands on it, man, to really be able to judge it. I feel like it's like when you see a new set and like there's just some cards where you're just like, man, this is either going to be busted or absolute garbage. And you just need to play it like a bunch of times before you understand how it even really works with the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say Death Rattles are insanely good in this mode. Because they will always go off. Battle cries are insanely good because once again they just stick.
They're permanent.
So it's just, and like getting Bran with battle cries is pretty crazy. There's just a lot of different things that you can do, and I didn't get enough time to really play. Like, I played like 4 or 5 games, and I felt like I just needed more time to play. And we can play tomorrow. So
yeah.
So well, it's
good
time.
Though, right? Is it not good that the game's like, man, I played 5 games of this and I need to play another game?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good sign.
Yeah, no, it's a great sign. And from talking to the developers, like, one of the things that they told me is that first of all, they started developing this in March. So they've already had a crazy amount of turnaround to get this out to people.
Yeah, they probably started when the auto chess like boom was starting, when the original one came out. I bet Chalky had a bit to do on that one.
Yeah, so they started this in March.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, so Chalky has been, he was challenger in TFT. He's been grinding the auto battlers. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
It's all work, man.
Yeah, so they started in March. So 6 months of development time. It's very quick, to get it out to production ready like that. They said
on the development side too, right? Like they had to go through and remake the whole client for 8 players.
Right, they had to do that. Keep in mind that there's still some nuances, like you can't, like, because of the Hearthstone client right now, you can't like invite like 7 players to come play with you. You can group up with one other player. It's like, it works kind of like a challenge. And so you and the other, you and your friend can join in a game with like 6 random people, basically. Uh-huh. So you can play with a friend, but only one.
Did they say they were going to try to make it so you could group up more? They're going to
It's just a capability of the client that they couldn't do it right now, and they wanted to get this game out as soon as possible.
Yeah, that was like one of the most fun like times of like when TFT just came out. We were just running in houses for like 12 hours a day. That was so fun.
Everyone would pop in.
It was like the Discord was like 8 people or more, like all times, just like a complete clown fiesta all day, every day. Yeah. And then Ranked came out, and then everybody just went on their own little path of losing their sanity. Hopefully they have a ranked mode for this so I can also lose my sanity that way.
They
have an Elo system.
Yep, they had rank on there. I didn't quite understand how it works, and I forgot to ask about it, but the demo did have a rank.
So from what I saw on this, it's very similar to other auto battlers where top 4 players get some Elo plus Elo, bottom 4 subtract Elo. Obviously, if someone has a lot stronger Elo than your pool, then they're contributing more. And the same type of thing as the other auto battlers are.
Yeah,
no, it's all Elo. Like LP is Elo. Legend points are Elo. It's just hidden. Or Elo, MMR, it's all the same thing. It all means the same. It's just more hidden in like Hearthstone and Overwatch and those games, I think.
So the best thing about this thing, though, is when I was talking to the developers about it, they said that people, like other developers, other people in the company, were playing this mode during the launch breaks, playing it after hours, playing it whenever they could, and were just completely obsessed with playing it all the time. And they said that the last time that's happened on Blizzard campus was when they were developing Hearthstone for the first time.
Oh, baby. That's a good sign.
That's a really good sign.
I mean, I'm ready, dude.
And I absolutely fell in love with it. When I talked to Disguised Toast at a mixer thing, he was not as hyped about it as I was. I think he has concerns like Yurei on it not being that skill based.
So, yeah, and I heard like the damage swings are insane. Like
the damage swings,
you can just
are
like
insane.
Take 50%. I heard Toast say like you can take like 50% of your health in one turn. That's insane.
I was in first place with taking no damage at one point, and I died 2 turns later.
What?
Yep.
That is bananas, dude. That is that's scary. I don't know.
I ended up in fourth.
I think you also have to realize that Toast is biased right now to some degree because he's in the good graces of Riot, and also he probably just likes that game better right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I would
he's
like
a spokesperson
Riot too
for Runeterra, so you'd you'd expect that he has some allegiance to Riot. So, he's going to be skeptical to begin with, right? I mean, the big thing is he's going to play a game, right?
Yeah. But like, if Riot gave me some custom Air Maxes, dude, I would suck anybody off for that. Let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Man. Like, dude. That was so cool. I wish we got cool stuff for playing Hearthstone, man. Like custom shoes. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. But beyond that, do you guys have any other questions for me for Battlegrounds on my experience with it or
anything else from the developers? Like, they're the guys who have the most insight into the game, and that's the thing that I didn't really get, because I saw a lot of this peripherally through streamers and through the announcement and just looking up all the stuff online. But was there anything that really stood out to you that the developers said?
So I did catch Dave Kozak at the food truck, like I said, and briefly talked to him, and he said if this mode does as well as we think it does, we have a lot of plans for it going forward.
Okay, that's promising.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So that's good. Promising. It's good to see that they recognize what this is. They're at least flexible, right? We're at a minimum right now, it's going to be something like Arena that's going to be a permanent fixture in Hearthstone. But
this is what happened to tournament mode.
Yeah. Well,
which I'm okay with. I'm okay with if this is
I'm not opposed to that. I think this is definitely going to like to be fair though, with tournament mode, I mean, besides actually playing like official tournaments, I wouldn't be doing too much of that on the side. I would be like, okay, I'll do like a community tournament here, I'll do a little bit here, but I wouldn't be grinding the tournament ladder. Like, this is the type of game that I'm going to grind the hell out of. This is something that's just fun and new, and because it's even in Hearthstone, the timing of this could not be better, because this is the time in the meta where everything is incredibly stale. We have a month left until the expansion comes out. We're going to be in a dry period for about 3 weeks before new cards come out. There's going to be nothing to do in Hearthstone. So this is like the perfect time for this to come out.
Yeah. And the other developers I talked to kind of mimicked what Dave Kozak said as well, that they're just very excited for this mode. They did reiterate to me that, hey, this is in the early stages, though. And keep in mind, they just started developing this in March. Like, the idea came in March. And so this is like an early alpha, basically, of something. So they can do a lot of stuff with this. So I wouldn't be too bummed out if it's not perfect, because I don't think
they also are in a current state where they're very receptive to feedback as the development team. They have been very good as of recently. And if they're the same guys running the actual development, like, I think I wouldn't want to put this in any other people's hands. I mean, the Hearthstone team 3 years ago, I don't think could be able to handle this.
No,
I'm actually really happy that we have this team working on it.
And they mentioned a lot of about how this has been a new team. That's been creating this kind of stuff, and that they're operating very differently now than they were in the past.
I mean, that's what they need to do to survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've talked a lot about like their new developers and stuff like that. So, but getting into like so some of the stuff I'm talking about here came from an interview that I did with them, and I need to tell you guys this story. I told you this pre-show because this is a story.
Well, you didn't tell us a story. You told us.
Yeah.
You wouldn't tell us a story.
Yeah, I told you that there was a story, but I wouldn't tell the story until the show. So we did not get any one-on-one interviews this year with any developers on any franchise. That's the first time that's happened on BlizzPro, but that's because a lot of interviews got canceled this year. And I believe the reason for that is they were targeting some bigger media sources. And I think some of that's been because of the controversy around Blizzard and not trusting some of the smaller sources right now because of some of that controversy. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if that's actually the case. So, however, they have every year they have these group interviews. And basically, it's open to any media. And normally there's like 10 to 20, 30 or more media outlets that go to these. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the Hearthstone group interview. I went to a couple others as well. Like, for example, the Diablo interview had probably 40 media sources in there. The Overwatch interview that happened before this Hearthstone interview had probably about 20 media sources in there.
Diablo had more than Overwatch?
Oh, yeah. Diablo 4 is like was the big news of Blizzcon. Interesting. So I went to the Hearthstone group interview, and I'm
I can see where this is going.
I had two interview questions prepared because I'm like, that's probably as many as I'm going to be able to get in. I go in there, and in comes Ben Thompson, Mike Donay, and I can never remember her name, but it's like Liv something or other. She was the one that kind of did the opening ceremony last year announcing the new set.
That was funny because like her and Peter, was it Peter Whalen who was like,
yeah,
it was just like awkward.
It was very awkward.
That was cringe. I remember that.
Yeah. So it was those three. And then, Lindsay, who's the PR rep, for Hearthstone. And, so I'm sitting there, the Overwatch people are mingling about, and, I'm waiting for the Hearthstone interview, and, it's about two after at this point. Lindsay's like, oh, there's other people coming. There's other interviews going on and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So I waited 5 minutes after. I'm still the only person in there. And I was the only person. I was the only media person in there for this group interview.
I saw that.
Well, wait, actually?
Yes.
Oh my god, oh my god. One-on-three interview.
Dude. Oh, I should have been there, dude. That's like my time to shine, dude.
So it was a 60-minute scheduled interview. I am the only person in there, and I only have two questions prepared.
Dude, oh my god. Imagine if I were there with you, dude. That would have been great.
Ray would go off on them,
dude. That would be their worst nightmare. Dude, all the hearts are just in a room with me for an hour. That's their worst nightmare, dude.
But honestly, it ended up being like my best experience at BlizzCon. Even though I only had two questions prepared, I'm like, I can talk about Hearthstone for a long freaking time. Mm-hmm.
We do it each week on this podcast.
Yeah. So we just started talking about Battlegrounds and started talking about the new set. And we even talked about Wild. Didn't get a lot of information about it.
But still, just talking about
it. I made sure to bring it up. In fact, I specifically mentioned you, Danny, on you would want me to ask about it.
Did they know who Danny was, though? That's the important question.
No, probably not.
No, of course not. They don't know who I am.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
They do now, though.
And I talked, and Ray, I talked, I mentioned you as well. And I brought up about our complaints that we've had on esports in the Masters Tour and how you have to basically high roll to get somewhere. And we talked about that. And keep in mind, like, that was just a conversation piece. That was them asking me on feedback. And that's how this whole conversation went. Oh, man,
why did I have to miss this year, dude? I would have gone in on them, dude.
So we talked. This is why, Danny, when you asked me earlier if I recorded this, I did not.
No.
And the reason I did not was because I didn't feel comfortable doing it. And I even told them I'm shutting off all my recording equipment because I just want to have a conversation about Hearthstone.
Okay. I'll give you that.
And also keep in mind that
you should have left one on.
Keep in mind,
microphone in the back pocket, dude. Someone transcribing it at least?
No. Keep in mind, after I left, Lindsay came out with me and told me, okay, you can't talk about this, or this. So there is stuff in there that was mentioned that I'm not going to mention on the show either. That's how the conversation went. As we were just very open. And it was a great freaking experience.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So what can you tell us about this, JR?
Well, most of the stuff,
an hour is a lot of time.
Yeah, most of the stuff I've already kind of mentioned to you guys when talking about Battlegrounds, talking about how long, you know, they started developing it, how it was in the office. We talked about kind of some of the mechanics of Battlegrounds. We talked about the set. And how there's going to be each class, the new set, and how each class is going to have two legendaries like normal.
Mm-hmm.
Each class is getting their own legendary dragon. This is stuff they've already kind of announced, though.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if they announced this or not, because I haven't been able to. Once again, I don't know what's been announced at BlizzCon. But the five new cards, like the five cards that they're giving to everybody, is in addition to the 135 cards. So it's going to be 140.
Yeah, so there's
140.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff is probably, like I said, it's already been kind of announced, but we talked about this stuff because I wasn't sure at the time.
So I have a quick question. Sure. When you asked about the Masters Tour, did they see it as a success or did they recognize that it's a complete failure? And I hope the results of this global finals does not make them think that this is a good system, because I feel like they're going to be results oriented here, and that is not a good thing.
They did not give me any signal on what they thought about it. That conversation was mostly them listening to me about it, and then Ben Thompson basically saying, I think that is all really good feedback, and I will make sure that it gets back to Sam, who is the esports leader. So.
Well, you definitely have a lot of insight into it based off of all the conversations that we've had over this topic. So I'm glad that you were there to to share our opinions. I think that's definitely something that I think we have a unique opinion on this because we are in the center of this. We are some of the people who really understand the plights of the competitive player just because of what we see and all this stuff. And it may go over a lot of their heads. Yeah. So I'm glad that we got some representation.
In this. I talked about how long the open tournaments take. I talked about how, like, an example was the one guy who top aided in two of the Masters and isn't going to get into Grandmasters because he didn't high roll into a first or second place finish. Just things about that. I talked about how you had to, you basically had to be very lucky to be where you're at with, and it wasn't based on consistency for players who performed well at a high level for a period of time.
You know, I think I could have changed the system. All I had to do was have one heart attack during one of those 18-hour Open Cups. Would have changed the course of everything. That's all it would have took.
You might not have touched upon this, JR, but did you talk about what we talked about maybe it was two shows ago or so, where we talked about what motivates people to play?
We did have this conversation.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we had this episode, man. That was a good episode. So how did that go?
Once again, they just mostly listened. And we kind of talked back and forth, and they did say that, yeah, they understand, those situations on like a normal player like me wanting to, you know, have some better rewards or something that would motivate me to play the game. And they did say, some we hope that work. Battlegrounds, you know, helps with that a little bit. But I said, well, what I'm really looking for at this point though, is the PvP aspect of, the ranked system that you have, the ladder, and changing that up and things. And they're like, well, what are your recommendations? And I gave some recommendations that we talked about on the show, and they said, okay, cool. You know what? But they couldn't, like, they said, there's nothing we can announce or anything about this, but we'll,
yeah, of course.
So they were just listening. So that's the other cool thing that was about this, is it wasn't just me asking them questions. It was also them allowing me to give my opinions on things and have that back and forth without, but of course they can't say, like, you know, yeah, we've talked about this when we're looking at the, or, you know, because unfortunately that's not the place where they can do that.
Well, so, yeah, but it's nice to have an open dialogue. And then a lot of the things, especially as someone who's designing a lot of these things, they probably have preconceived notions. Yeah. And if they're like, oh, well, hey, this leads to another conversation where it's like, hey, we discussed this thing and JR, a representative of our player base and those who are in tune with Hearthstone, they talked about this. They've discussed this. Yeah. Having a voice in that conversation is huge.
Yeah.
So I think that this is, being able to do that is very good.
I feel like a lot of those people also, like, for feedback, they go to places like Reddit, which is terrible.
Right.
Whereas, like, having to listen to you for an hour is infinitely more constructive.
Yeah, I like having to listen to me for an hour, because I do like that it came up, like, three different times during the whole conversation, them telling me, this is your time.
Dude, yeah, Maybe it's actually a good thing that I wasn't there, because maybe after the hour, they just wouldn't want to kill themselves.
I mean, they did also tell me twice during when we were talking back and forth, they're like, you are doing an incredible job for only having two questions prepared. And
I mean, we do this each week, right? You gotta think about it as an episode of Well Met, how we do this off the cuff. We continue the conversation, we go towards the natural flow of progression, all that stuff. So
And I think even Ben Thompson told me twice during the thing, he's like, you are given very insightful you have very insightful questions. I'm just like, well, we talk a lot about Hearthstone. So I'm so glad I get to have this conversation right now.
Where was the video conference, JR? Why didn't you bring that
FaceTime me? You should have FaceTimed me in there. They just look at my face, they're like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
I thought we got rid of him.
Did you talk about the podcast at all?
Just kind of briefly, like I mentioned it, because when I was bringing up you guys, in conversations that we've had on the show, like bringing up the what motivates you on Hearthstone, and the conversation we've had about the Masters Tour. And when I brought up Wild, I just asked them if they were doing anything to you know to kind of spice up Wild or anything with like getting people to play Wild. And I think Mike Donay said something about, well, if you're asking about like if we're gonna do any tournaments or anything like that, we're not prepared to be able to discuss that right now.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, you wouldn't expect anything out of that, but
yeah.
Was that pretty much the gist of the Wild conversation?
Conversation. He did bring up Snip Snap. You know how they were bringing that card in. I don't know. Anyway.
What was their opinion on Snip Snap? That's interesting.
I don't fully remember, to be honest. So I'm sorry I brought it up.
No worries.
It was a very surreal moment, and one that I'm really glad that I had. It reminds me a lot of when Blizzard invited me out to Blizzard campus before Hearthstone was released, and I got to sit in a room with Eric Dodds, Ben Brode, and Jason Chase and play the game for the first time and be able to discuss the game with them. It was like that. So.
Or maybe, I don't know, even that time where we were with like Ben Brode and Young Woo and stuff, like, I mean, there was another guy there, but like, he was just taking some notes for his like random esports journal website thing. He wasn't asking. He had no idea what was going on. It was just me talking the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was the gist of the quote unquote group interview. Like I said, I didn't want to record it. I had my camera with me. I thought it would have looked really bad if I was the only person in there, but I feel okay talking about it because I wanted to give context on it and be able to talk, you know, how it ended up being like a really cool thing. So
I feel like if you record it and like you could just make it be like, this was an interview I did, not necessarily have to mention that like it was a quote unquote group interview.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it basically wasn't. It was basically an hour long one-on-one interview.
Yeah, so one-on-three. You get three developers there for you.
Right. And they're the big ones too. So
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. But beyond that, was there anything else you guys wanted to talk about on Battlegrounds or?
No, I think I want to talk about the global finals or whatever they called it.
Yeah, the Grandmasters World Championships or whatever they're called.
Yeah, nobody really knows. It was Worlds, and then it wasn't Worlds, and then it was
XYZ,
and then it was I don't know. It's whatever they want it to be. It's Grandmasters Finals.
Did you guys get to watch it at all?
I watched it a bit, on and off.
Wasn't worth my time.
I saw a lot of misplays. China did real well because they actually have a tournament system that doesn't suck. The way they qualified. So, I mean, I guess I'll just spoil this. Liyun, who's a female Chinese Hearthstone player, won the whole thing. And on Weibo, she actually doesn't really have a following. Like, she got to that point by like grinding through open tournaments.
Yeah.
And I think that is infinitely more impressive to some degree than like getting top four in Grandmasters or whatever you have to do to get there.
Mm-hmm.
For them, like, you have to be four out of like 16, which is way easier than being like one out of like however many people were, because those things are huge.
Yeah,
the Chinese like master like gold series, all that stuff, like that's like an insane amount of players.
Yeah,
like, so is she like an average Joe? She's just like an average Joe type of person.
Yeah, her story is incredible on how she got
literally
there.
A grinder.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like. Yeah. No following at all prior to this.
Yeah, I got to watch. I watched the semifinal with Bloody Face. I got to chant USA at him. tweeted at him with USA as well. We need to get him back on the show again.
Definitely.
I wanted to like talk to him and meet up with him, but
it'd be cool. So busy. If we could get Liyun on this with like ETC as a translator, because I've been following her for a long time, on Weibo. I knew about her before this, which is like really weird. I didn't know it was her at first. I was just like, because I just follow like the Chinese people who get like high legend just because they post deck lists and stuff. It's kind of like following Akira and just got to follow all the people who post the list kind of thing, because they play some wacky stuff sometimes, so it can be interesting. And I didn't even make that connection until now, or it was like yesterday that I made that connection. I was like, wait a second, because I was like, this person has to have a bigger following because they only had like a couple thousand followers, and I was like, there's no way that person is this person who just won this.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Well, I bet her following skyrocketed after.
No, not at all.
Really?
On Twitter it did. When she made a Twitter, like, her Twitter following is bigger than her Chinese following. It's super weird.
And then I gotta go and watch the final game of the grand finals match, and
that's so cool.
And watched her get win and get her trophy. And I will say, I don't think there was a single dry eye in the crowd at that point.
Yeah,
like that was a very emotional championship there. And when she was up on the stage, and like Frodan asked her the first question, and she just couldn't say anything. It was just crying basically. Like, and then the crowd would like sit there and cheer her on. And then she would do that again. Then they cheer, and it was just. It was just one of those things. Like, it was such an amazing moment to be in.
I mean, that's esports history. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It really is. And the fact that she did it, came in and did it the hard way, is impressive. And the fact that she just dominated through the tournament. I mean,
and it's weird. It's, I don't know if they ever mentioned that. Like, when I was watching and I don't think anybody like mentioned how she actually qualified. Like, I don't think people know that it's not like a street. It's not like a grandmaster system in China. It's like what our old system kind of used to be, where
I didn't know that. Opened.
Which is probably why China did very well in the tournament.
Yes, that's what I meant. Like, all the Chinese players are well practiced right now. Like, they have to play in these giant open cups and to qualify them for like a qualifier that qualifies them for like kind of like how we used to have it. So they're just playing more.
Yeah.
And I also think one of the reasons why it's less of a big deal in China is because China, like, it's not that rare for like a female player to do well in China. Like, just from what I've seen, like, Eloise was popular. There was a bunch of other ones that did well, like really well, like were winning championships and stuff. So I think that's why it's less of a big deal there compared to here. Like, here it's like, oh my God, like, this is esports history. There, it's like, oh.
This happens every other week.
Yeah, it's like, it's more common, which is interesting. I think this is like a huge cultural difference.
Yeah. Well, I was ready to cut. I didn't know that she was the average Joe who was like a tournament grinder coming in. I thought she was a grandmaster. And I was ready to come into this conversation saying, man, like, this whole grandmaster thing doesn't really count because like all the grandmasters had the express pass into the tournament. But like, someone who wins it fair and square and like coming from like the underdog position is really inspiring.
Yeah.
It sucks that I don't think that story is really widely known.
But I think it should be. I think we should like talk, like, we're talking about it now, obviously. But that, like, think of if Grandmasters, like, if she had won this and Grandmasters was like the same in China as it is here, and how, or the way it was last year, even, where you had to win your way up to prove yourself. That's the biggest problem that I've always had with Grandmasters, is it took that away to try to gain Twitch viewership.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work, in my opinion. Maybe it did.
So it was seen as a success because the overall amount of time watched was more because of how long it's on. Like, it's literally on almost 24 hours. So it's seen as a success from that point of view because they're consistently maintaining like 10K viewers for 24 hours, which is like probably better than having 80,000 viewers for a few hours.
Right. Which is crazy to me that they would view it that way.
But I mean, you have to look towards longevity. That's something that inevitably comes up with regards to this, where they're like, okay, well, we get 10,000 for this year, 9,000 for next year, 8,000 for next year, and it goes on and on until it dwindles down. And it's like, well, you'd rather it be 80,000 for 1 year and then 79,000, right? So ultimately, at some point, Hearthstone Esports is going to recognize that the deterioration is going to be a factor in a part of this, where just as things start to decline, people are going to be like, we need to change something. People inevitably will come to this result, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah,
or they'll just move on to something like the Hearthstone auto chess, baby. That, and then they'll include that in Hearthstone numbers, because that's what it's going to be, right? It's not going to be
That's true.
It's still going to be fair, Hearthstone.
Though, I do think that the auto battler has potential. I think it's going to initially increase Hearthstone viewership, just generally. Yeah. I think that a lot of people are going to be very interested in this game as soon as it comes out. Like, numbers are going to spike on Twitch.
Oh, it's going to be hyperbolic.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. But, I mean, it's because it's a brand new thing, and it's something to be explored. The question is, how is the longevity of it? How long are we going to be able to is it a fad, or is it something that's going to be able to stick around and be permanent in the game?
Right. I mean, it depends how fun it is to watch. At the end of the day, that's what matters. And, I mean, none of us know that until tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if we'll, I think we won't be able to figure it out until, I don't know, 2 or 3 months down the line.
Yeah, we probably will be in a honeymoon phase for a while. Like, TFT was fun to watch for me no matter what, like, at first, because I just wanted to learn anything from people who are better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not sure if Battlegrounds is going to hit the same level that TFT did, but
I think it will.
I could be wrong.
I think it definitely will. I think Hearthstone's casual audience has been kind of moving on to other things just because of how stale and, I don't know, boring Hearthstone is, and also the streamers that have moved on. But I feel like everybody, at least for the first week, is going to come back. Yeah. Like Svich, Toast, Kibler, like literally anybody that you can been a Hearthstone streamer at one point and isn't playing it, which is almost everybody.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, this is going to be like the stepping stone, I think. I think that this is kind of like what Hearthstone was to Magic the Gathering, where the auto battler for most people, I mean, I remember when auto chess started up and JR was completely opposed to the game. He didn't want to go through and look at any of, when it was the Dota mod, like, he was like, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to do anything like that.
That's because it looked boring.
That's the whole thing. Like, that is what Magic the Gathering was to a lot of people who joined playing Hearthstone. I have a feeling that when this happens, when we get to a point that, like, this is the auto chess for a casual player, this is going to get a lot of attention in that demographic.
Yeah, auto chess for idiots. Let's go.
Yeah, I think you might be right, because... So I talked to Garrett and Jocelyn on the Angry Chicken. Or not on the Angry Chicken. They're on. They do the Angry Chicken. They are the Angry Chicken. Talked to them at BlizzCon and Garrett was on that panel that I was talking about, where I gave the awesome, insightful answer about Blizzard releasing an auto chess game. Both of them weren't. Weren't super excited about auto chess, and then they played it, and I know Garrett's like really into it now.
That's how it is.
Excited about it, yeah.
That's how it was for everyone, dude. I feel like so many people were just down on it until they actually played it.
Yeah,
and I feel like the reason why they didn't play it was because Dota feels so unapproachable, and like UI feels so dark.
It's boring to watch. It's boring to watch. Yes. You don't understand what's going on. You don't understand, like, there's a lot of moving pieces. Like, even when I played Dota Underlords, it took me 4 or 5 games of going, slogging through with it. I had to have my friends sit there on Discord and explain the game to me before it finally clicked. And once it clicked, I was like, okay, I get this. I understand how to play it now. And I started up a podcast about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely much more approachable. I had 3 of my friends play it with me at BlizzCon, who don't even like play Hearthstone very, very casually. Like, I'm talking about, they probably haven't even touched the game in a year at this point. And
I don't know. I think it's
They all three got into it and understood.
I think it's your background. Like, if you're a Dota player and then you go to play Underlords, like, it's going to click right away. And you're going to have that familiarity, just like everybody's having with Hearthstones. And for League players had with TFT. I feel like it's just perspective and, like, where you're coming at it from. I think they're all
possibly
good.
Yeah. I wouldn't know since I never... Well, I have played League of Legends before, though, but I didn't play it a lot, so...
Yeah, no, I used to play it a lot, and I played Dota a lot, too. So, like, it just immediately clicked. Like, everything just made sense right away for me. And I had that feeling of just like, oh, this is what this does in the game, and then it does what you think it would do in the auto chess version. And at Hearthstone, that's going to be the exact same. Like, oh, Divine Shield is going to do what Divine Shield says. The Death Rattles are going to do what Death Rattles do. You know what I mean? It's going to be familiar.
Yeah. Anyway, if you remember at the beginning of the show, I was talking about the three complaints that I had on this, and I just remembered the other one that I had is that when you level, like, you don't get to level up your minions very often. I think I played 5 games, and in each of those games, I leveled up like 1 minion.
Yeah, I did observe that when I was watching, and I don't know. I think that gold units are kind of on par with like 3-star units in any other game.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, I think that just really falls into how you play the game. It just turns into like you're not really playing the auto battler to get the matches. Whereas in the other games, you're really sorting through, you're trying to find the matches, but you're trying to get everything sorted out. But ultimately, like, I think in this game, you're more or less trying to play the Hearthstone cards as opposed to, oh, well, I need to go through and get the doubles, the 2-stars, the 3-stars on these cards.
Right. Yeah.
What is a power spike like? That's the only thing I want to know is, like, so since you don't get them often, is it a huge power spike or is it just gradual?
I feel like one of the strategies is to level up as soon as you can and grab like the big minions, because you can really, like, you can wreck someone with just these huge, like, the top tier minions.
Okay. So you can hyper roll, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are also other strategies, though, where you don't level up at all.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Pogo Rogue strategy where you go with the Pogo and you try to go that? So that's a strategy. So there are a lot of different strategies.
Tribal is another strategy with, like, Murlocs and stuff. That's a pretty good one. Or getting a bunch of Death Rattles and things like that. That are things that are sticky on the board because you can... take a lot of those big hits if you have a lot of sticky minions, and they just keep creating more and more minions. So
it's like Shaman, and then they kill you with Bloodlust, and you cry.
In fact, the very first game I won because I was playing Murlocs that were very sticky, that had a lot of death route, because I kept getting the guy that would give me the battle cry guy that would battle cry all my Murlocs or adapt them. And so I just kept playing that and getting rid of them and then play them again. And I get a different
Gentle Megasaur.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. So I would get him. So my Murlocs were very sticky and also very big, because I could also do the ones where it would buff up like their health and then sell them.
So JR likes the big sticky Murlocs. I see how it is.
Big sticky Murlocs. they had a lot of death rattles to them. So, and that's the game that I won. The other reason I won that game is because I had the hero that would discover a secret. And secrets were insane in that battle. Because I get like Avenge or stuff like that. Actually, the ones that were really good was the one that Redemption, where it would bring back your minion.
And then if it has death rattle, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it was so good. You could also get Ice Block as a secret, so you can just like never die. Granted, it uses up your secret when it pops and you don't get it back, but you can sit there and keep discovering a secret once a turn, and if you see Ice Block, take it. Ice Block will stay on there And you're supposed to stay on
there.
What
I learned, I actually learned this. Mike Donay was sitting on stream. I think it was either with Trump or Ali Straza, but they have something programmed in with IceBlock that after you get it the first time, it's significantly reduced in the discover pool for the secrets.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I like that.
And then the more times you get it, the less likely it is to come. And I think after three, you can never get it again.
Ah, that's good to know. That's good to know.
You can still high roll three times, though.
Yeah.
That is true. But once your opponent gets three ice blocks, man.
I never had to use ice block. I was at like, I never dripped below 80 health, I don't think, that whole game when I won. So I just destroyed it. Anyway,
dude, man, I'm so hyped for this.
I can't wait to put you in your place tomorrow, JR.
Yeah, JR.
Hey, Ray,
I'm so disappointed. we need a three-player lobby, dude.
Yeah, we do.
Can we coordinate queues? Can you do it where it's like I'm paired up with JR and then Ray's paired up with someone else and we queue at the
same time? I feel like there's going to be too many people playing for that.
Ray, if you want to play this tomorrow, hit me up. I will be at home. Ready to play. So,
all right, I'm ready. Yeah. Do I have to pre-order something to get access to it?
You need to pre-order soon, right? Do you have to pre-order before it comes out?
I would imagine, yes.
Yeah, so you need to pre-order tonight or before they put the thing out.
Unless you have the virtual ticket. You have the virtual ticket.
What? No, I don't. So what is it that pre-order. I have to pre-order right now?
So any of the pre-orders, either the what is it? Is it the $50 bundle or the $80 bundle you need to pre-order?
I think either one's fine.
We can already pre-order.
Either gets it for you, I know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the prices are for it. I got the whatever the 100 packs was. I think it was $80 100 packs.
Yep.
All right. I'm gonna have to do that like literally right now if I still can.
Yeah, go do that now.
Yeah, you definitely still can. I did it 2 hours ago.
Wait, it's not an option.
So you can't do it in game. You have to do it through the client.
Yeah.
Oh, on Battle.net?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Battle.net.
Yep.
Where is this? Take to the skies. Oh, and you get, is that the thing with like the weird witch hero thing? I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You get like a weird hero.
Our podcast has now become.
That's the human form of Deathwing, apparently.
Yeah. Our podcast has now become. Let's help Ray figure out how to pre-order Hearthstone.
It's been Texas before. Okay.
All right. I think it's time to get out of here, though. Anyway, if we didn't get any emails this week, Ray, mute your mic while you're typing, bro.
Sorry. I did it.
Ray typing in his password. Maybe you can figure out which keys are his password.
What?
There. What? Your keys make different sounds, so you can figure out the password.
No.
Yeah, totally.
That's not true. No, come on, Jared. No, can you cut that out then?
Oh man. Anyway. Hunter 2 is his password, by the way.
Yeah, damn it, I was just about to say that.
How'd you know?
I heard the keys, man. I heard the keys.
Oh no.
Now I gotta change the password to my luggage.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anyway, if you'd like to email the show, wellmet@blizzpro.com is how you can do that. And we love getting emails. We'd love to hear from you. So send those emails out to us, and we will answer them on next week's show. If you'd like to help support the show, one of the ways to do that is over on Patreon.com. Just Patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. $1. We said it earlier in the show. $1 gets you early access to the show. Probably not this one, because I'm going to get this one out almost immediately, I think. And you'll get, but you will get access to pre- and post-show. Another way to help support the show is through podcast reviews. If you want, just head over to iTunes, leave a nice little 5-star review or any review there, and we'll read it on next week's show. So shout out to how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to you, JR, for putting in some good work at BlizzCon and sticking it out for 60 minutes. With the 1-on-3.
Yeah. Thanks.
You can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy and on Twitch at Racy. I forgot there's no Racy 591 anymore. They changed it.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool battle. There was this other Racy. The guy who originally had Racy was like, he found my channel and he came in and he was like, so this is like, he was a partner person too. He must have just stopped streaming or something. Or maybe they just took it away from him. Who knows? But that was pretty cool. They took away Racy from the other person who had it and gave it to me.
Nice.
That's nice. Pretty lit.
You were the better Racy.
I was. It's because I killed 591 otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There could only be one. There could only be one.
Yeah. I ate them. That's why I'm so fat.
All right. Shout outs. And how can people get in contact with you, Danny?
So I was going to give you a shout out, JR, but not to copy Ray. I'm going to give a shout out to the Hearthstone developers for this interesting game mode that's coming out. I'm very excited, and I haven't been hyped up for anything this much as since like the last expansion. The last expansion had me really hyped up, and like I think this is pushing it a little bit more. Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential in this set, and I'm just excited to see where it goes. I'm on for the ride.
I remember you saying not too long ago when we were doing BlizzCon predictions that all you wanted was a new game mode and you would be happy, and you got it.
That is correct. That is exactly what I said, and I also said that there was probably going to be an auto battler too. So. Yeah.
You were
those are the
spot
two things
on.
That I wanted, and hey, they fulfilled what I was looking for. So I'm very happy with what happened here, and I'm very excited moving forward. So this has definitely brought up my interest in just Hearthstone in general. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Awesome. And where can people find you at?
People can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
Awesome. As for me, I wanted to give a shout out. I'm going to copy Danny a little bit because I want to give a shout out to the Hearthstone developers for sure. Team 5, the developers I met with, like Ben Thompson and Mike Donay, Dave Kozak, all of the people I met at BlizzCon, Lindsay for giving me the hookup over there. I think I said on Twitter, this was the best BlizzCon I've ever been to, and this was my 11th BlizzCon, so I'm not saying that very lightly.
The one that I miss.
So I definitely want to give a shout out to all of that. And you can find me on Twitter at Eldorian. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 219 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.